You're listening to the Artist First World Radio Network, artistfirst.com. Tony K in the studio. Thanks, audience, for joining us worldwide. All broadcasts available free on demand 24/7 at artistfirst.com. Be sure to consult the homepage regularly for updated guests. And our content is available for you to use on your social network sites. Lots of topics to discuss. This hour on Authors First, it's my privilege to introduce Jamie Ilama, I-L-A-M-A, which means I love all my animals. Jamie, thank you for joining artistfirst.com. And audience, for your convenience, we have the website, An Open Door, that's A-N, opendoor.us. So check out the website. And during the show, send your questions or comments to our guest. How do you do, Jamie?
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Wow, aren't you having a good time celebrating your favorite topic? You know, I think that animals have been a central part of your life. Tell us about your fascination with the little ones.
Yes, actually, I have. For as long as I can remember, I've had an animal in my life. I had a bird when I was really little. That was my first pet. And then a dog. I always said my brother was an old English sheepdog. And we used to show him. So I spent half my growing up underneath a grooming table. And so I was always surrounded by dogs, even if they weren't mine. And then as I got older, I had them of my own and just, you know, fascinated my kids, have only known life with animals in them. I have right now 11 rescued animals, and they're everything to me. I love them.
11. And, of course, they all have their own personality, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. Each one, totally different. And a lot of them are turtles, which you would never even think would have a personality, but they do.
Well, the rabbit and the tortoise, I'm sure. And the fascination also breeds a curiosity in you about their needs, wants, likes, dislikes.
And really their similarities, and that's pretty much, you know, what this whole Rescue Me series and the Upstairs Cat is about, is the similarities that they have as, you know, as we do as humans, the things that they go through, the things that they have to face in their lives, the, you know, the things that come up, just life struggles or whatever. As I said, my animals are rescue animals, so they all had to go through some kind of trauma or something that affected their lives. And it's just through them and through what my personal experiences are, I find an even stronger bond.
Jamie, the first in the 5-book series that you've just released this May of 2016, The Upstairs Cat.
Yes. Yes. Actually, it was February that we did it. But yes, it is about it's a true story, as all these books in the Rescue Me series are. And this is about his cat, Amazon is her name. And when he went away to college, he left and she was alone in the room. She only stayed upstairs. That's why I called her the Upstairs Cat. She had everything she wanted. Her food was brought to her, her water, her litter. So she never really left. There was no reason for her because her love was in that room. And then once her love left, she had to brave the outside and the threshold of her door to explore the rest of the house, where she did find love. And that, you know, and it's really about that, facing change and, you know, your fears and going beyond to do them. And as I watched her, it just brought back so many memories and still, you know, circumstances and situations that I'm in about facing fears. And I watch my son, he's graduating college, and he, you know, again, it's a whole new life, a whole new change. You know, we all deal with change, even when we're tiny little. You know, there's always change in our life, and we just have to, you know, accept, move on, be brave, just as the Upstairs Cat.
Ilama, Jamie Ilama, I-L-A-M-A, an acronym for I Love All My Animals. I tell you, you're very special, and you're bringing an important topic to the table, that of rescue.
Yes, yes, rescue, and again, just the bond that we have. And, you know, they always say that when you rescue an animal, and it really doesn't matter what it is, that they understand that. They understand, you know, the sacrifices and everything that they went through. And they just, I think, again, a rescued animal is such a special animal because, you know, you always have to dig real deep, you know, and you have to kind of hit rock bottom to truly appreciate life. And these animals are no different than humans. And they really do. You know, they know what it's like to be on the street, so they know what it's like to be rejected in some way. And so, again, the similarity is humans and animals. And they just love, you know, their love is unconditional for us. I'm sure our love is unconditional for them. And they appreciate it. And that's really, you know, what this whole series is about. It's just, you know, again, how we as humans and animals can relate in so many different levels. Without even a word, with just, you know, a pat on the head or whatever, it's still felt.
Oh, absolutely, and you're correct. They do know they've been rescued. And they do show appreciation in ways that perhaps other pets don't. And the need is tremendous. It's so large, you see it on television all of the time. So, animal lovers out there, you all manage to stick together. You really have a passion for their rights, their health, their well-being, and making an animal a part of your family dynamic. Opendoor.us, that's the website that you'll go to learn more about our guest and the release of her first of five books, The Upstairs Cat. Did you have a cat in mind? Did you select one to focus on for the book?
This was the true story of my son's cat. And actually, on the back of the book is the story, the true story of her and him together and their picture. And at the back of the book, like the last page of the book, is actually her picture so that the people can see, because it's a children's book, so it's, you know, a cartoon of her. But then they could see the real her. And she's still, you know, around kicking, and she's going up and down the stairs. And yes, she was my cat as I call her, my star of the book.
Cat Writers Association.
Yes, believe it or not. Yes, I didn't even know it existed. I'm learning so much through this whole process of being the publisher as well. There is a Cat Writers Association, and they're wonderful people. And again, they're not just writers, they're photographers, they're many, many different walks of life, but they still have that, you know, passion and compassion for cats. And they do anything and everything they can. And they write about them, take pictures of them. It's a really big organization, and they're very picky on who they allow in. You know, you really have to show them your work. It has to be a published work, and then they go by that to accept you into their association. But they've been wonderful.
There's actually a cat museum and association located on Main Street in Alliance, Ohio. And it's an old building built in the turn of the century, early 1900s, several floors, featuring the cat.
Yeah, they call the cat the god, right? I mean, I understand.
Yes.
Yes, they are amazing. And as I said, you know, with all the Rescue Me series, it's not just cat, turtle, a ferret, a dog, and an elephant or the other characters in the book. But, yeah, all these animals are just amazing. And cat people, you know, they get a bad rap, but, you know, cat people, dog people, we're all the same. I mean, it's just, again, the ones that, you know, for whatever reason, whoever affected your heart the most is the ones that you feel the passion.
Jamie, what was your son's reaction when you, or he discovered, I should say, that you were writing the book about in memory of his cat?
Yeah, well, I, you know.
Did the cat move on to one of the other nine lives, in other words?
No, she's very much alive.
Oh, okay.
She's very much here on Earth.
There we go.
She's still here going up and down those steps. It's not in memoriam, too. It's just to, you know, just more of a realization and a salute to her. And every day I see her, I always think, you know, I wish I could be more like you sometimes. But He thinks it's funny. You know, he's a teenager. Actually, he's not. He's 22 now. But, you know, he kind of shakes his head. I mean, my kids know, you know, these animals are everything to me. So is he surprised that I wrote about her? Kind of, but I think he finds it more humorous than anything else.
And you're an entrepreneur. Have you found a way to take your love for care of animals and create another business out of it with Open Door Publishing and the series, the website, the contests, the blogs? All kinds of things have happened since you began this project.
Yes, and you know, it took me almost 54 years to find my passion, and I, you know, I consider myself a late bloomer in this, but I have to say, when you find your passion, it kind of takes over your life. And so for me, I mean, it was just the next step. You know, I wrote these books, and I, you know, I talked to people about it, and they told me, well, you know, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And so one of the suggestions was making a nonprofit, since a portion of the proceeds of every single book go to a charity or charity specifically chosen for the book. And so since I give, I am a 501c3 nonprofit. And so we accept donations too because, you know, I only have the money that I get from selling the book or from donations made to our, to our nonprofit, which is an open door because, you know, when a door closes, another opens. And so we also open minds and hearts as our readers. So that's why it was an open door. But, it just all comes. It's not like just one thing. It's just a perpetual, it's like a snowball. So it's all these things. So it's, we have the nonprofit, so that's another way to donate. And on our website, we have a list of the charities that we give to. Most of them are, they're all tiny little charities. Most of them are in Southern California, very local and close to my heart because they've saved one of my animals or helped in some way. The only one that's the furthest away is in Thailand, and that's the elephant rescue, and that's the last book, Goodbye and Thank You. And that one, they saved elephants' lives because an elephant, the Asian elephant, is almost extinct. And so my wish and prayer is that I am able to publish that book, the last book, and have the money enough to do that before there are no more Asian elephants. Kid will look at the book and not even be able to see one. So that's my hope. But they're all wonderful charities. They solely depend on the kindness of people, and they, you know, they're not very well known or anything. So please go to the site and check them out and see what they do. They all do really wonderful, wonderful things, and not one of them ever asked me to do this. It was just and that's one of the reasons I picked them. It was just because they do wonderful work.
The social network has really elevated the ability for people who have common causes to flock together and share ideas. Are you finding that to be the case about cat lovers on Facebook or other social network sites?
Yes, actually I have, and it was pretty much through the Cat Writers Association that they, because they, a lot of the members are mentors and everything, and so they suggest, and there are tons of websites who have, who are, you know, cat lovers and everything, and they have blogs, and they have, you know, e-zines, they call them, like magazines and everything, and they've been very kind, and they've, there's one, Mouse Breath, which is adorable, and they wrote about the upstairs cat, and there was another one, Three Chatty Cats. I met her at the Orange County Pet Expo, and she wrote a little bit about it, and just, yeah, I mean, it's just amazing how many people out there, again, cat lovers, there are dog lovers associations, I'm sure, and every other kind of animal, but they really have welcomed me with open arms. They're very kind.
Now, I know that the first book is the cat, okay, but where is there a place for the turtle?
Yes, so there's one, the first one is the cat, the upstairs cat. Then the second one is called The Pup's Tale, and that was about my border collie. And then the third one is about a ferret, and in California, and I think Hawaii, are the only two states, ferrets are considered wild, although they're not, because they're all, they all come from a breeding farm. They're bred domestically. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then the fourth one, that's the one about the turtle, is called A Home for Timmy, and it's about homelessness. and it really just sheds a light on homelessness and to not judge, to teach the kids that if somebody doesn't look, you know, somebody might be dirty or a little stinky or whatever they are, to not judge them because, you know, it's not the life they chose. It's just one that they're at the moment in. And to just, again, it's all about open-mindedness, acceptance, understanding, tolerance. And so that's where the turtle fits in.
Are you attempting to reach a particular age group?
Well, the age, because they are picture books, and I did do it for a reason, is like from, you know, 1 to, I guess, around 11. However, these books touch everyone. And the reason that I made them picture books is because adults have to touch them as well, because you usually read to your child. So that these stories touch everybody's heart in some way, the kids more so from the pretty pictures and, you know, the rhyming words and things like that. But to the adults, because we've experienced all these things, we've experienced maybe not homelessness, but we might know somebody who has. We've definitely at some point in our life experienced change of some kind and being brave enough and facing those fears. Also, the other ones are about abandonment. And again, it's not just being left alone, but it could be emotionally, it could be physically. You know, so again, and then there are the other ones saying goodbye. We all lost someone we've loved sometime in our life, whether it be a goldfish or a grandparent or a parent or, you know, whatever. So they all these things, you know, touch every life, but they are geared to the youngest generation because if we can open the minds and the hearts of them, then we can have a better world, and you know, in the outcome. And that's truly... that's what it is. It's just raising awareness at a really, really young age and letting these kids know that, you know, if you're tolerant and understanding and you don't judge, you know, you throw that all that out the window because that's really what we learn. And if they learn it this way, you know, what better way than through a fun book?
Oh, absolutely. The sooner the better. Grandma and Grandpa or Mom and Dad, buy an extra set for Grandma and Grandpa's house, you know?
We need
to have that connection that wherever our little ones go, there's available quality material.
Absolutely. And again, in such a subliminal way, these stories are all delicately told. There's nothing, you know, they're very, very, they're age appropriate and everything, but yet they'll get it. You know, they'll absolutely get it. And in the back of every story are what would you do questions. Because I used to ask my kids after reading a book, well, what would you do about that? And it just raises, starts a dialogue that the parents they don't have to ask the questions, but they're there. And just to educate, what would you do if you were the main character? Or how would you feel if you saw someone who was dirty? You know, just, again, it just starts a dialogue so that it's a conversation. It's just a conversation like you would have at any dinner table or anything, but it's opening, you know, stopping the ignorance. It's just raising awareness to these social issues that occur in our lives no matter how old we are. And to recognize them and to know that it's okay and to know that you can get through it, just like all the characters in the book. It's always a happy ending. It's always, you know, an optimistic outlook. It's, you know, it's always a happy, happy, happy resolution to whatever they've gone through.
In the books, do you have a combination then of sketches? How is the artwork presented?
Yes, actually, in the Rescue Me series, it's all the same format. So they're all the same size book, 8.5 by 8.5. They all have the same format. So the text is on the text is on the left, and the picture is on the right. So even if you're not, because, you know, pictures are worth 1,000 words, so even if you're not a reader yet, they can tell from the pictures. And the pictures are all really colorful and very fun and very lighthearted and, you know, just really happy characters. So, you know, again, there's no solemnness. There's no, you know, it's always very, very, very uplifting in the pictures and the words and everything. It's just teaching life lessons happily, you know, without stigma and without, sorrow or anything. I mean, it's just really fun, lighthearted, but the message is absolutely there. And I can guarantee that whatever adult is reading it will shed a tear.
They're durable. These books have a longevity. You know, you might have a couple kids that'll end up reading them, or grandchildren.
Absolutely. And, you know, my whole thing is, again, because they are tools, and we are an educational publisher, I wish to have them in all the schools as well. I mean, I would love to have them, you know, as a scholastic book. I really think it's important to teach kids these lessons. And, again, it helps the teacher because the questions are already there. They don't even, you know, have to make up any questions. I mean, it's pretty much outlined for them to help them with the conversation and to help them, again, raise awareness. So, yeah, they're very durable. And as I said, I had gone to the Pet Expo, and I have to tell you that more of the people that bought my book were adults than children.
Yeah, because they're taking it home to a bunch of kids.
No, they're taking it for themselves. It's not just they didn't know.
Yeah, oh,
that's the funniest part, that these books, it's either they like black and white cats, or they just love any cat book of any kind, or they truly relate to this story. And that's really what it is. Just because it's a picture book, you know, kind of limits the audience because, oh, it's a picture book. But yet, it doesn't matter, as I said, in this book, it doesn't matter how old you are.
Right. In other words, any cat lover, 85 years old, would love this book.
Yes, and I had that. And I'm telling you, at the Pet Expo, I did. I had so many. I mean, I'm signing away, and I'm asking who to sign to, figuring it's their grandkids, and it's them. It's wonderful. I love it.
You're never too old
to learn, you know, a life lesson or to relate to a book.
Well, yes. I mean, in the title, the dog. What's that one?
That one's called The Pup's Tale.
Yeah, The Pup's Tale. And then the image of the puppy with the flower stem.
Yes, yes. Now, mind you, all those, the only true book, the only true cover is The Upstairs Cat. I use those as mock covers. Those will not be the real covers. Once I do have the real covers, I will... You know, I'll try to do it as close to that, but I just needed to put them on my website, and I don't have an artist at the moment to do it, or the funds, actually, more than anything. So once I do for each book, but it will be similar to that cover. But yes, it is a border collie. That is true. And it is, as I said, it's about my dog. I had a border collie, and we were his fourth home. And we had gotten him from the a border collie rescue in Maryland, and he was abused. I mean, this is not in the book, but this was true life. He was abused, and he came at 6 months old with tons of issues, and he was huge. He was like the size of a golden retriever, which border collies are normally like, I don't know, 50 pounds max. He was like 90. He was huge. But he, you know, again, I always said he came like the Grinch. He had a really little heart when we first got him because he was so abused. But, you know, again, like everything else, the more love you give, the more you can receive. And so for him, he was my impetus for this whole series. I mean, he truly, there's a Rescue Me poem at the end, and it was truly about him. I mean, I watched him with all his struggles and all his issues become the best dog ever. And again, for what he went through, you know, nobody should. And he survived it, and he grew from it, and he was the best, and he taught me so much. So that's what A Pup's Tale is about. So he comes back and forth from the rescue, and then he finally finds his forever home. And it's just about, again, finding forever homes, finding the perfect match for you that will love you and accept you no matter whatever your flaw is. I mean, isn't that unconditional love?
Oh, absolutely, and they give so much more than they take. There's no question. They've demonstrated that pet owners live longer.
Absolutely, 100%, that's why it is so important to, again, I'm not saying, you know, to buy a book and adopt a cat, although that would be the best case scenario. It's to recognize, you know, even the ones who do, people think they're fanatics and everything, but to understand why, you know, we all need love, both human and animal. And, you know, and to share it with someone who gets you, whether it be an animal or another human, I mean, that's really what life is about. And yes, it lowers your blood pressure. I mean, there are so many statistics. you know, just walking a dog gives somebody exercise, someone to talk to if you're all alone and all you have is your animal. I mean, it's still a life. It's still a responsibility. For kids, it's huge. I mean, that's the whole thing about these books, too. I mean, it's that connection that we have when we're young. It teaches kids responsibility. It teaches kids life and death. It teaches kids, you know, unconditional love. I mean, it's just amazing what animals bring to our lives.
I've never met a child that didn't want some pet, whether it be fish or a dog or a cat or a horse, whatever. I mean, children crave and want to have a pet to care for.
Absolutely. And again, it's, you know, they want it because they want it, like the toy on the shelf, but it does, again, teach them responsibility. I mean, it is a huge thing. There are ages, you know, I mean, like a two-year-old is not going to really take care of the animal, although they'll love it. But, you know, when they get a little older and they really do understand that sense of responsibility, and it is responsibility, even if it's just feeding the fish, you know, whatever animal it is, you can still love it. And everyone wants someone to love, you know, no matter what your age. So, I mean, I always tell parents, you know, when I was at the Pet Expo, there was a cat where all the cats are, but the kid wanted a turtle. And I'm like, get him a turtle. I mean, turtles are great pets. They're the best pets. And yet, now, granted, they do not talk to you, but you could talk to them.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's a great pet. I really do. I think that they're, as I said, you know, we get love however we get love. And if it's going to make a kid happy to have a turtle, well, that turtle can be saved too. In fact, the turtle book, A Home for Timmy, there is a turtle rescue, one in Malibu, actually. But there are turtle rescues all over the place. So, yeah, you could still save a life. You know, it's still a life, and that's the thing. A turtle, maybe, as I said, doesn't talk or whatever, but they do show love in some way. You can hold them. You can kiss them. You know, I have two really big turtles. You call them. They walk up to you. I mean, there is a relationship.
Yeah, I mean, they love treats.
Yeah, they love, yes, absolutely. I mean, again, you know, they do carry salmonella. So, you know, I would tell parents, you know, make sure the kids wash their hands. But my kids had grown up with turtles, and they never got salmonella, you know. So, I mean, you just have to be cautious with anything. It's a living animal.
With any animal. You know, whether it's a cat or a dog or any animal that's in your home, in your presence, you need to proper grooming and understanding the characteristics of that animal.
Exactly. But, you know, again, they just... as I said, all these animals, it's just this love that you get from them that, you know, and you give them. And it's just, it's such a way to live. I mean, it's the best way to live.
Well, I'm sure the 11 cats in your company are very happy.
Oh, I don't have 11 cats.
Oh,
I have 11 animals.
Oh, 11 animals. Cats. Okay.
Yeah, then I'm really the crazy cat lady, aren't I? No, I only have three cats, two dogs, and the rest are turtles. So, yeah, I don't have 11 cats. I would have 11 cats if I could, but I only have the three.
Well, Artist First Radio has had a preponderance of cats in our history here at the radio station, outdoors, indoors. And my business partner, the CEO of Artist First Radio, is a huge cat lover. And I think there's 7 of them wandering around now. And there have been more and less. And he has been a rescuer of animals. 1 year, Artist First Radio was privileged to have a possum come to the studio. And we were able to rescue the possum and deliver him to a very nice location. So, you know, you don't know when that raccoon or possum or... and hopefully not a skunk, but that animal might come across your path, a starving cat or a stray dog that's looking for its owners or home or place to be. So taking them in, and of course the shelters are a fine place to begin too. Many people are displaced. They move from one home to another or apartment, and or they're elderly and can no longer attend after the health of the pet. So many of those animals have been in a home for 10 or 12 years and are looking for a nice place for end of days.
Yes, and that's why it's so important for rescue, more than shelter, because unfortunately, and again, spay and neutering is the most important, but, you know, just to stop that population. But again, these shelters euthanize. In fact, two of my cats would have been euthanized had we not rescued them. And they were both in shelters. My border collie, actually, a pup tail, also was going to be euthanized. He was a puppy in the shelter. So although shelters, you know, a quick fix, it's not the answer, because most of these are kill shelters. And so, again, support rescue. I say this, my books, as I said, a portion goes to the rescues. These are the people that will go to and do, this is what they do. They go to these shelters to save these cats, not only just the cats that are outside roaming. It's the cats in the shelter that are going to be euthanized. As I said, two of my cats were on that list of being euthanized. And so, again, it is these rescues that go in and they save them. Every breed has a rescue for cats, believe it or not, and dogs and everything. And then there are just rescues that just pick up strays. One of the rescues that we give to for the upstairs cat, actually, they saved my dog. They went to a shelter, and they saved him, but they also saved cats. And they saved them from the euthanized list. And these animals are wonderful animals, but for whatever the reason, you know, no one comes to claim them. And so they don't have the room. So support rescue. I can't say it enough. You know, spay and neuter your pet and support rescue. I mean, that I can, you know, scream from the rooftop.
ANOPENDOOR.US ANOPENDOOR.US And yes, you can purchase the books right there. So support independent authors, creative talent. Purchase something of quality, lasting value that can span the generations and broaden an appreciation for life itself within your family unit by buying and supporting Jamie, and I'll never get the name right. Ilama.
That's correct.
Ilama. Ilama. The last name, and that is the acronym for I Love All My Animals. Thank you for supporting the arts and joining Authors First and sharing your life passion and how it has materialized right in front of your very eyes. What say the rest of your family and those who've known you a long time? Are they excited for you, and are they surprised at what's happened?
They're not surprised. I could tell you that. They're not surprised at all. They know, you know, my love for animals. And supportive, well, I don't know, but, you know, again, as I said, a passion is a passion that's driven, you know, and I know that when they find their passion, then they would understand, you know, have a better understanding of mine. So, but they are definitely not surprised by this at all. So that's kind of cute. And
yes.
And as I said, you know, these animals, because they're my animals, they're also, you know, my son's animals as well. And so they, you know, I know it touches their heart in some way, shape, or form, even though they may not say. But one day I hope, I really, really do, that their kids will pick up a book and say, oh, my goodness, you know, this is Grandma. So that would be great. So, you know, if that's what they get out of it, then that's fine. But as I say, you are never, ever, ever too old to find your passion. And, you know, just be creative. I mean, that's the other thing with Open Door. We're going to run contests and everything so that kids can just be creative and write, and we can publish them. You know, my whole thing with this nonprofit is as long as it's a cause that you support, a food bank, you know, anything and everything. I don't care if it's a poem, a sonnet, music, anything you wish to write, poetry, anything. I would definitely, you know, publish it as long as you can raise awareness to a cause and give back, you know, paying it forward. That is my wish. And again, like you said, artists first, you don't stop creativity. Never stifle it. You know, no matter how old you are, everybody has a story to tell. Everybody has a song to sing. Everybody has something to say. And why not be able to say it? I mean, no matter what age you are, even if you can't write, there's an adult there to help you write.
And what an incredible world we live in today with the technology right at our fingertips to do so much and to partner with other people and to learn and create a whole nother enterprise. You never in imagined years believed you would become an author, that you would own a publishing company, Open Door Publishing, and that you would be involved in this enterprise to this extent. But because of that passion and love for rescuing animals and your desire to spread that message, look at it. It's absolutely incredible. It has a life of its own. And beautiful merchandise. Well done. Congratulations for putting it together in a beautiful way. We encourage school teachers, those who love pets and animals and enjoy teaching and sharing with young children and old children alike to buy their copy and get involved. You also, Jamie, have a blog. So those who get the books can join the club, so to speak.
Oh, absolutely. And even if they just go to our website, please follow us. I mean, that's my whole thing. We have contact information. You know, just to follow us, maybe this isn't the book for you, or maybe you want to wait for the next book. But, you know, again, because it's such a huge world, you know, I just need to know who you are so I can, you know, give a shout out and say hi. And that's really, and like you said, it really is. It's all about just, you know, giving back to realizing, you know, that you have, we all have passion in us, and we should just, again, be creative. I mean, that's it. Be an artist. Be creative. You know, tell your story. Tell, you know, anything and everything you want. We all have something to share, no matter what age we are.
With the computer, your mobile device, however you're listening to Artist First right now, you can visit the website, anopendoor.us. And when you get over there, audience, select contests. Because, Jamie, you're doing this on a regular basis.
Yes, yes. They should also go to the charities and the donations. That would be really great, too. But, yeah, I mean, again, we are all about just, you know, we want kids, adults, high school students, anyone and everyone. You have a story to tell. Send it to me. I mean, I would love to publish it. You know, we are a publisher. We have that ability. We just, you know, again, the one thing is it has to, you know, raise awareness of something. And it has to give back to someone. But we want as many, you know, all the creative artists and, you know, whoever is there, whatever your age, absolutely. And they can follow us on the blog. The blog is on the website as well, so they could see it. They will have anything to add, any comments, anything, any stories to tell. I would, you know, love to incorporate that into the blog and into the website.
And you can give a dollar, you can give $10, $100, whatever your budget allows that you would like to support the rescue.
Absolutely. And it's not just the rescue. Again, with their money, and it says so on the website, you know, a portion goes to making more books, a portion goes to the charities. And again, it's just, it is, it's just this one, you know, the cycle, making more books. The more money we have, we can make more books. We can make all the books in this series, which is my, you know, hope and prayer. So, again, yeah, donate, give, whatever, you know, buy a book, buy 20 books. It all helps, and it all is such a worthy cause. And as I said, you know, it's just me. I'm the only one. I do not get a salary for this or anything. All I do is, again, try to, you know, fill the world with great books to teach kids to be loving, you know, just loving, understanding human beings who accept everyone for who they are, no matter where they, you know, come from, no matter what choices they make in their life, just to be accepting, loving adults.
Oh, boy. Pulling it all together must have been a task. How long did it take to create an Open Door Publishing and make all of these wonderful features available? Was this a year or 2 years or 6 months or...
Well, the books were written like 3 or 4 years ago. And it just took that much to try and figure out how to get money to even make this possible, because without money you cannot do anything in this world. And so that took around 3 years, and I was kindly given like a lump sum, which is not a lot for many, but it was enough for me to get to become a nonprofit, because I had to hire a lawyer to get the book out, because each book is about $5,000, believe it or not, to make, because the illustrator gets the chunk of it, and then there's editors and things like that. People put the book together. You know, I'm really just the author, although this is truly my vision. Every picture in the book is my vision, even though I didn't draw it. Oh, the colors in the book are my vision.
I'm just the author.
Yeah.
I understand, right. You know. There's so many elements that have to be brought together to create something worthy of the public's attention. And certainly you've done that in spades. It's a big upfront investment as an entrepreneur. Just, you know, you think, well, I'll write this book, or I have this idea, and someone else will publish it, and then the royalty checks will start coming in, you know. And,
right,
and that's not reality.
No, and the thing is, again, the reason that I started this company was because I wanted total control of these books, because I don't want a dollar for a book, because then what do I give the charities? For me, it was more important. Again, it's all about paying it forward. It's about all these people who have saved my animals and who continue to save lives, and this is not their job. They don't get paid for it. They spend their waking hours every single day caring for these animals, seeking out these animals, finding homes for these animals out of the kindness of their heart. That's all these people do. They go to the ends of the earth to find them, and they have, you know, a community within them. And so for me, it was all about giving back. And if I had a publisher for these books, I couldn't give back. As I said, I don't take a salary for this. I wear all the hats and whatever else, and I try to figure out how to get money to, you know, to give back. But it's all about, again, just human kindness and just, you know, paying it forward in some way. And so, again, by donations, buying books, anything and everything that can help, it will just save lives. Every penny will save a life in some way, whether it's raising awareness, giving directly to the charity. You know, I do it all. I mean, as I said, I wear all the hats, but it's just a huge, great cause. And again, it's just making people better by, you know, again, teaching kids philanthropy, by giving and opening minds and raising awareness to social issues that, you know, sometimes ignorance doesn't allow them to see that it's, you know, again, not the life people choose. Life has very weird things that happen to us for whatever the reason. And when it does, people should be more accepting of it. I don't think anyone says, when I grow up, I want to be homeless. When I grow up, I want to be abandoned. I mean, I don't think that happens. And so if we can teach our kids that it doesn't have to be that way, if they recognize that it's not a choice, that it's just a life circumstance, you know, it's maybe not the one we chose. And if we help in some way, charity, food, any way possible, buying a book, we help. And that's really what it, I mean, again, that's what these books are all about. Just raising awareness to these causes and being open-minded and not judging people for how they look or what they do or how they act. It's just the way they are.
I love all my animals. I love all my animals. So, look, today, the little ones, they get on the computer. You can take them right to anopendoor.us. Show them the organizations that you're going to be helping and the book. So your child or whoever has the love of the pet can be involved right there in your mobile device on your phone. So share the information you're learning, audience, with people that you know on Facebook, social networking, and so forth, and getting involved. Now, here is a quick list provided by our guest this hour, thank you, Jamie, of targeted organizations. And, of course, you are a 501c3, so $500, $1,000, $10,000, you could receive any size gift for those who want to support these charities and buy the book.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I would love it. I always said my goal is to be on Ellen because she has such a huge platform and such a huge audience. Absolutely. I mean, as I said, their money will not be wasted in any way, shape, or form. You know, it really, again, every penny will go to, you know, making more books. And even when this series is done, there'll be more books, more series about acceptance, tolerance, inclusion. I mean, that is our whole mission at Open Door. We just open minds and hearts, and we, you know, we raise awareness to social issues so that kids and adults can be just more accepting and more tolerant to, you know, all walks of life, no matter what our, you know, sexual preference is, our social situation is, anything and everything. As I said, we do not, you know, we are who we are for a reason. Love is love. It doesn't matter. And if people can really get that through their head, the world would be the best place ever.
Jamie, thank you for supporting the arts on Artist First Radio and being my guest. It's been my privilege to introduce you to our worldwide audience. Tony Kaye, and reminding our audience to visit the website and send your questions or comments to our wonderful guest this hour. Jamie, before I let you go, anyone out there on planet Earth you'd like to say hello to, or closing remarks for our listeners?
I just want to thank you again for this opportunity. I ask all your listeners, please, you know, go to the website, check us out, buy a book, save a life, make a donation, anything. And if anyone knows Ellen, I'd love to be on this show. So you could just send me an email. But I, again, thank you so much for this opportunity. I am so grateful. I really, really appreciate you spending the time with me and letting me go on with, you know, all that we do and for the Upstairs Cats.